When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, I'm in quite the tangle, listeners.
Cables.
Literally everywhere. I'll be blown if I'm going to miss out. I'm recording this again from the garden in a heatwave. Now, this is going out on a Thursday. I think by which point the heatwave will be over. The absolutely aggressively distressing nature of global warming aside, I am in the garden making the most of the sun. It's hot. I can't think how to solve global warming. All I will say is, if anyone was ever in any doubt, if anyone's got that aunt or uncle who says it's not real, drop them a line. You'll find them in the garden. They would have just ordered a paddling pool from Argos. I have no affiliation to Argos. Other than it was my absolute dream as a kid. I used to love going in there. And they had free pencils. What more could you hope for? And they will be in their paddling pool in the garden. Hang on a second. Why haven't we had a hose pipe ban? They were all the rage when I was a kid. And I wonder why we haven't had one yet this year. Anyway, sorry to anyone listening outside of the UK. Because I am aware this is an international podcast that seems to only speak about local weather. Which is not a recipe for success. But listen. In case anyone hadn't quite noticed, the Brits are obsessed with the weather. Oh, so funny thing happened today. So there I am. I think it's like 36 degrees right now. So I'm in the garden trying to get 2 weeks worth of tan within about 45 minutes. But being a good little camper, I put on some sun cream, factor 30. Now it's next to me. It's called Alba Botanica Sensitive Mineral Sunscreen. So it's really cool because, oh, it's water resistant. Right, this is all becoming clear. Because it also says it's reef friendly. Not many of those around here. But I obviously appreciate the sentiment for those swimming near reefs. Went on very easily and wasn't cold, which I loved. And just sprayed it all over my body. Then I had a Zoom. So 2 minutes before the Zoom, I'm like, well, I better get out of the sun and go and look. And it was quite an important meeting. So I zhuzh my hair, put a t-shirt on that's dry, look like I'm just sort of in the middle of a day's work when actually I have been sunbathing. And, you know, when you open Zoom, your face appears in front of you very quickly before you join the chat. I realised this sun cream had not rubbed it into my face at all, and I looked like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I had like thick white cream all over my face. So I had to like quickly run off, try and soap it off my face, and it wouldn't come off. So then I sort of had to go at it with a towel, just trying to like sandpaper it off my face in the intervening 120 seconds before the call started. So then I splashed my face loads, and then my t-shirt was covered in water. So I joined the call, t-shirt covered in water and a very, very red face, which looks like I'm just really burnt. But did anybody notice? I don't know. I need to investigate. I need to speak to a couple of people I was on the call with and go, did you notice anything? Anyway, that's my big news. This is Homo Sapiens, in case anybody was wondering. You're listening for all your queer news, life, loves, laughs. Life from a queer perspective, that's our tagline. To spice up your heatwave, which I suspect as this goes out will now be over, to spice up the torrential rain wherever you are in the world, we have got such a good episode today, even if I do say so myself. The band Hercules and Love Affair is one of my favourite bands and has been for God knows how many years, amazing music videos back in the day. Well, always amazing music videos, but as in how I first discovered Hercules and Love Her was their music videos, I think. And Andy Butler is the sort of creative force behind it, but it has had many members, including Anoni. Now, Anoni, in a musical sense, was previously known as Anthony and the Johnsons. That was their band. And they did a song together called Blind, which is an amazing song, an amazing video starring Jamie Winston, Ray Winston's daughter, and directed by someone I know called Sam Faramand. I just remember it being an amazing thing. But Andy is today's guest on the podcast, Andy Butler from Hercules and Love Affair. And he is a DJ, he is a queer man, and he is the creative force behind Hercules and Love Affair. And again, this is an in-person chat, people, because that's what we're doing post-pandemic, trying to get back out there. So we met up and we had a chat, and it is the most wonderful chat with someone who is just so wise and insightful and kind and has obviously been through a lot. And he talks about so much stuff that he says that he's never really spoken about. Is all so relevant to everyone on the LGBTQIA plus spectrum and beyond, I feel. You know, our relationship with sex, our relationship with intimacy, our relationship with music, you know, and the history of queer music. Tons of stuff to learn, and how do you navigate that? And he's really funny, and he's very humble, and he is someone who's actually done incredible, incredible stuff for such a long time. And we just gassed. So that's today's guest. You're going to love it. Now, last week's episode, speaking of special episodes, last week's episode, Vic Parsons went down to Trans Pride for us in London, and so many lovely messages, particularly from the trans community, about what that meant for them and how it was a beautiful record of a wonderful thing. So thank you for your lovely messages. Please let us know. I just felt like I was there celebrating and protesting at the same time. What more could you ask for? I want to hear more. What did you think? What other events would you like us to go to? We're going to go to UK Black Pride because that's quite soon. And I want to hear from you, people. Hello at homosapienspodcast.com. Write in. Tell us what's going on in your world. Where are you going on holiday? If you are lucky enough to be going on holiday, where are you going? I was thinking this today, like, where are the most sustainable places to go on holiday? I.e., and I'm riffing here, like, is it much more sustainable to get the Eurostar somewhere if you're lucky enough to be able to go on holiday? But, you know, is there places you can get to by train that is more sustainable than traveling by plane? This is when someone will tell me that actually train is the worst form of transport. But I was just interested in that. I'd love to know if anyone has any resources around that. So write in. Hello at Homo Sapiens Podcast, please, or on Instagram at Homo Sapiens. Also, lovely email I read out to Andy Butler in this interview, because I'll let you listen to it. But all started with a coincidence. Very, very interesting. And if you haven't recently, I implore you to open up your laptop, go to Apple Podcasts on your laptop or desktop or phone, actually, probably phone. Go to Apple Podcasts and give us a review, and you could win a t-shirt. And what else could you win? Glory. And we all love that. I did have one other thing I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it was. I know what I wanted to tell you about. One quick thing. So, Joiners Arms in London's Hackney. It was a brilliant venue where I used to hang out tons in my youth. People called at Friends Joiners Arms, all one word, on Instagram, are trying to open the UK's first accessible community-run queer venue in East London. They're trying to raise money, so go to at Friends Joiners Arms, and if you can donate, there's lots of different ways and lots of different tiers of donation. Please go there, please support it. It's the UK's first LGBTQI plus community-owned space. We need more of these things where we can all go and meet and hang out and drink tea and laugh and jape and more. For as little as £25, you can get a stake in this queer space, which means, I don't know, there's all sorts of perks. They've written about it on the website. Anyway, I thought it was cool, so head on over. Let's go and have a listen to the wonderful Andy Butler. I'm going to call it life-changing, and I don't use that lightly. Well, I mean, I did once call Finter's Crispy Pancakes life-changing, but I stand by it. Here's our lovely chat with Andy Butler. When you're talking about being a DJ and then you're doing stuff as an artist where you're performing and things, which I imagine they are different gigs, right?
They are different gigs, but for many years they were similar because I was putting so much dance music forward that, you know, people could come. It was very easy to slot us in between DJs or in an event like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was dance music facing, so.
Do you find that you live in a kind of dual existence of when you're playing big gigs in Mexico, they're in quite not queer spaces, I suppose, but then perhaps more as an artist, you're in slightly more queer spaces? Would that be?
Well, so I definitely experienced that in, and I have experienced that from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot has changed in the 15 years because it's 15 years since I've been doing professional music. And I'm so happy to report that a lot has changed, wow. But not as much as we might want, right? Not as much as we might imagine. There's definitely a lot more work to be done. And, you know, I've played some gigs which were just shockingly non-inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I was really like, why did you book me? Like, what am I doing here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the hard, say, in the industry, we have the hard ticket shows, which are like the shows for my fans, the standalone Hercules and Love Affair shows.
Yeah.
They're the most diverse and beautiful atmospheres ever. So truly, truly queer spaces,
yeah.
You know?
Yes.
But yeah, sometimes I find myself in a room where it's like, okay, I think that guy back there in the corner in the suit is going to dance to Sylvester, but I'm not entirely sure. But 9 times out of 10, he dances to Sylvester.
Good on him. Yeah, because it's funny, because I used to go to... So my first ever job was working for MTV as an intern. So what I used to have to do a lot was go to Global Gathering. Have you ever played that?
No.
Okay, so it's a massive festival, and it goes on for 3 days, and it's heavy on the drugs. And people like Errol Alkin play and stuff, and like amazing artists play. But I felt there's a real... I was experiencing so many different kinds of spaces, is what I'm trying to say. So I could go... Because dance music kind of is like this... And electronic music is this kind of home for queer spaces and queer people to unite and be as one. But then also it is like going to a football match, things like Global Gathering. Like, it was so aggressive. I've never been in such aggressive spaces.
In the early days, we played a couple of these shows. Like when Hercules was like a band that, you know, the band of misfits, as I, you know, we were a really amazing, beautiful group of people to look at on stage, you know?
Yeah.
They booked us, I think, a festival called Creamfields.
Oh, that was another one I did. Same deal.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we played and it was like, it was a bunch of mannequins or like stiff boards. Yeah. Like maybe one or two of them were going to pelt us with a beer and we got off stage early enough that that didn't happen. But it was really like, it was weird. We were like, you know, and that was definitely a moment in 2008, 2009 when this level of visibility, and also just the fact that like there's been enough retellings and like enough people have come forward and said like, this is queer culture. Mm-hmm. This is like, all you guys, you love these parties. Well, you have there's a debt of gratitude to the Black and Brown communities and the queer communities in America that made this stuff happen.
Yeah.
Starting in the mid-70s, you know, like, and the story's been told enough, I think, at this point. And the narrative is shifting even more, as it should, towards a little more along race lines, too, where, you know, these football hooligans who are like, you know, raving to dance. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I said Sylvester earlier. Mm. Like, there was a huge dance music hit that sampled the Village People,
right,
of all things, that became huge with like the most bro-y dance music community, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't even realize that sample is coming from a Village People song, you know?
Yeah.
And so the lines are getting blurred. The story is sort of much more accurately represented now. You have a lot of like the sort of top tier DJs like showing out. Like, you have people like Honey Dijon or the Blessed Madonna, or, you know, you have a lot of women representing now. You have a lot of, so the story's being told differently. And we talk about like the bros or whatever, but like in the span of one night, you can change so many minds. And I do know that.
Really?
I know that for a fact. So a really great DJ set can open up a lot of people. I was in Mexico this weekend and, you know, I was in a town called Puebla. I'd never been there before, 2 hours away from Mexico City. And my fans reached out to me like, oh, where are you playing in Puebla? Mm-hmm. And I told them. And one of the people wrote back to me and said, oh, no. Oh, unfortunately, that venue is not particularly friendly to LGBT people historically. Uh-huh. And I wish you were playing at a different club. Mm-hmm. And so I said to him, give me all the names that you have to put on the list. And I wrote to a couple others and I said, we're going to change the room. Mm-hmm. They all came.
Wow.
And I pointed out to all of them in the front, drinks for all of those people.
Great.
And by the end, they were in this other more VIP area with all of these like, and it was like they were the center of the party. Right. And like all of these other people who maybe, because there's also a bit of a class thing and, you know, a visible class thing in Mexico as well. All of these VIP people were like realizing that these people were the center of the party. I went out from the DJ booth and was like hugging them and talking to them. And like, and I don't know, they became more of the central focus of the event. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think a night like that can change a lot of people's perceptions and minds, you know, when they see, oh, there's I don't know what pronoun she went by or they went by, but I think a little lesbian girl, she's dancing with the DJ that we were just like rocking out to, like, you know, seeing this stuff is important for them.
Yeah, and you got to give people the opportunity to understand that maybe they don't have the full picture. If then at that point they choose to say, I'm not interested, then that's
then
it's a whole different thing. But it is like, you know, particularly with the history of dance music and the conversation that now is, by the way, this is stuff I was massively educated on and my education is still tiny. But, you know, like, you know, hold music for your insurance company is music from the oppression of Black queer bodies in the 70s, you know, and you, how would you make that link unless someone took the time to educate you, right?
Yeah, I mean, but that's tapping into a whole nother crazy complex. I mean, there's a lot there to mine as well. I mean,
so much.
It's crazy to think about that stuff, you know, branded content that is like quote unquote inappropriately branded or selling, as Anoni puts it, selling the pheromone of something for a brand that whose values don't actually align with the artist's pheromones that they're trying to utilize in order to make profit or something, you know? Yeah. That's a different conversation. But no, I love DJing right now. So the album feeling quite different and exploring different emotional realms. Mm. Right now, I'm loving being able to spread so much joy and everything. And I look forward to depressing everyone when the album comes out.
But it's not depressing at all. I think it's beautiful and triumphant.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thank you. I loved the song Dissociation. Dissociation, everybody does it, but it has very specifics to do with the LGBT community as well, you know, and to give it, so we're not just using a word that maybe it feels a bit opaque, like dissociation is kind of, would you define it as like going somewhere else in your mind when you physically are somewhere?
Yeah. So my younger brother is a PhD in psychology. And so wow. I definitely double checked when I wrote this song with him. I was like, is this a bad metaphor? Am I allowed to do this? Whatever.
I love
is it
that.
Accurately?
Signed off.
And yeah, he's also a musician, by the way.
Wow. Okay.
He's queer.
Oh.
And he's the lead singer for a fairly successful and incredible extreme death metal band.
Wow.
He's.
What are they called?
They're called Vastum, which means waste in Latin. And so I double checked with him and he was like, no, I think that the lyrics, you know, while not like clinically correct, they definitely describe what's happening, right? So my layman's sense of dissociation is, yeah, like something might be happening to your body even, and you're actively mentally going somewhere else because something's happening to your body.
It's something I talk about dissociation a lot. And how did you end up coming to write that? Because it's a fascinating concept and an amazing song.
Well, so a lot of the record, Anoni and I went through, as we all do, our own experiences around emotional journeys, around the chaos, the overstimulation, bombardment of information and misinformation, the disruptive news, all of this stuff. But one of the things that definitely affected me very directly at one point in the past years was the very negative impact that social media can have. I just basically found myself seeing just, you know, on an Instagram feed, horrendous things, or on a Twitter feed, like just appalling, like levels of violence, and then you just scroll to the next thing. And then there's like a tweet about, you know, something that, you know, oh God, I got food poisoning and I'm never going to eat at that restaurant again. And it's like, oh, I just saw someone hanged in a different country.
Yeah.
And having all of that stuff constantly, there was really a moment where I was like, almost my eyes glazing over, you know, I'm like, everyone's eyes must be glazing over on some level. We're all being forced on some level to detach from having an emotional experience to the stuff that's going on because there's just so much of it. Like there's just such an overload taking place. And so that's where the song started. And I, one of the lines is like, my eyes can't focus. I don't even know the lyrics to my own song. That's so bad, right? But it's like, it's basically saying to someone else, like, I know you're with me, drifting, like I'm drifting right now. Can we ground each other? Is there some way that we can ground each other? And so in the chorus of the song, I respond to the singer, this wonderful Icelandic singer called Elin A, just saying, I am here, I am here, reel me in, reel me in. Which is just this like return to this notion of a human contact, like stepping away from this virtual sort of floating dissociative state almost that we all are just constantly finding ourselves sucked into by way of our personal computers / telephones that we have all the time.
Yeah.
And just kind of re-emphasizing human connection. You know, a lot of the record's about that.
Well, a lot of queer people, because there's so much shame around sex, dissociate during sex and use drugs to dissociate during sex so that you know, like, I'm not explaining this to you, obviously, but like, as in that thing of...
I know.
Read the book.
Yeah.
Wrote the book. but if we crave intimacy, but we're scared of it and we find it shameful, which actually, by the way, is not a specific LGBT thing, but therefore you take some drugs and lo and behold, your inhibitions go down, then you end up having sex, but then you can't actually have sex that isn't without connection. It's like you just, you know, chem sex, etc. And
recovery from that is one of the hardest things, I think, in the world, you know? I mean, I'm recovering from that. And I'm doing a pretty good job.
You're doing a great job.
Well, I'm specifically talking about in the bedroom.
Oh, right.
No, but I am doing a good job in general, too. So thank you for that. But, you know, I hadn't had a long-term relationship ever. And, like, that's a perfect example of, like, you know, when you live years of your life, basically maybe coping with trauma, repeating patterns of abuse or, you know, sexual trauma or something, and trying to find connection through these, like, really empty and... Well, empty. I won't say they're empty because that's kind of pejorative. Maybe sometimes these connections are real, you know, but, you know, these dissociative sort of experiences sexually, you know, it makes the work in a real, like, loving relationship that much harder when you have to learn it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where you learn it, though. That's where you learn it when you actually decide on some level, okay, I'm going to go somewhere deeper with this person and I'm going to connect and we're going to go through the different stages and phases of relationship and learn what intimacy really is. Mm. Like, we're going to deal with conflict and we're going to get closer because we moved through the conflict.
Or
we're going to encounter, you know, awkward, honest, vulnerable moments in our sexuality and we're going to work through those and move towards each other, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, which is just not part of the script when it comes to, hey, get out a glass pipe and let's, you know, spend the next 3 days obliterated with, you know, 20 guys. I think I know one of their names, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not a autobiographical, by the way, but
no judgment if it was.
No, no, it's truly not though.
I don't know. It's funny because I think, I don't want to make this statement like, oh my God, queer people have got it so much better. But I know so many people in straight relationships who have never had to interrogate intimacy because it's very laid out for you what you will and won't do and how your life will go. You know, you don't have to question or make your own decision about which foot goes where as you're walking forwards because you're like, well, I just kind of do what they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there are so many people in straight relationships who don't know what intimacy is because I don't know, there's more gender stereotypes around it and things, and you know, I don't want to talk generally and yet I am, but you know, it's like,
no,
it's,
but I hear you, the how much of the work, the emotional work has to be held by the, you know, female identifying partner in a relationship, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm around a community largely led by women that I participate in regularly. And I'm among a small group of men. And, you know, the sort of, I don't know, the sort of head of the organization that talks about this a lot, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And talks about the fact that, you know, along with the conditioning patriarchal system that we have all ended up in, not only is the heavy lifting often had to be done by, say, a woman in a heterosexual relationship, but there's also this, like, there's this implied, there are all these roles that women end up finding themselves forced to be in, like compacted, limited in the sense of how much they can express, even though they know they have to do, they're the ones that have to do the expressing in order for the relationship to sustain. You know what I mean? So it's like, they're silenced, yet they're still the ones that have to do that level of stuff. And and it's also, you know, right now we're reading Bell Hooks, a book, All the Men in the Group. And, you know, we're realizing that it's really sad that we as men are also in this position, you know. Work has to be done on both sides. We all have to wake up more in order to treat each other more lovingly is what it really just boils down to, right? Like, because intimacy also extends into friendships and intimacy extends into familial stuff, like biologically your family and stuff, your natal family. So, and a lot of natal families have no intimacy in them. A lot of, you know, parents don't have any comprehension as to how to truly talk to their son or daughter.
No, and it's funny, isn't it? Because I feel like the path to intimacy, the way I try and make sure it's front and center, is to not lie and to just try and tell the truth. And it's amazing how in families, how you are punished if you tell the truth.
It's amazing how that initial incendiary reaction, but I will say, God, in my family, we've had to tell so many heavy truths that it's amazing on the other end, years later, the change that really can happen in a family.
Really?
Like, I'm so lucky in that regard. Like, my family is, I'm so lucky.
Wow.
But it was so hard at the beginning.
Yeah, because what, I hadn't realized your brother was queer. And because you grew up in an all-male household, right?
Well, one very tough girl.
Right. And was that a sister or a...
That was my older sister.
Right. And where was your mom?
Mom was trying to take care of all of the chaos in the household while dad was gone.
Okay, fine. So your dad wasn't around, but your mom was.
Well, dad was there every now and then. But dad, you know, yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about this recently. Like, I've sort of, we end up walking in the footsteps of parents sometimes totally unknowingly, right? But my dad had a job where he traveled a lot. So I have a job where I travel a lot too.
Interesting.
Yeah. So my mom was just trying to like manage the house while dad was out doing what he needed to do. And sometimes that was for weeks, months. And yeah, so it often devolved into a kind of chaos. But the tough part was that when dad came back, he had a very clear picture of what that family was supposed to look like,
right.
You know? So, but the hard part is he wasn't there really for it, you know?
Yes.
So he would come back and say, what do you mean you're great? Can I say bad words?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Can I say bad words? my dad would say, everyone's grades are shit? Why isn't he excelling at this sport? Why isn't this taken care of? And, you know, there was a big period, especially I've reviewed early interviews in my professional music career where I talked really, really, I think, emotionally, over emotionally on some level about my family.
Mm-hmm.
And also with a lack of awareness and I hadn't seen the evolution that took place, say, in the last 10 years. My dad did the best he could on some level, but it was really, really, really hard because it just wasn't functioning.
End of part one of our lovely chat with Andy Butler. How do you feel? Have you written anything down that he said? I just think he's wonderful. I'm still in the sun, for anyone wondering. Can't really feel my forehead because it's burning, but I figure if I want to look like I've been on holiday for 2 weeks, I need to just stick it out. Now, that's a joke. Everybody should suntan safely. I don't want to cause any upset. Anyway, that's the end of part one. Go and have a listen to part two on the feed. It just gets better, if that was possible. It does.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.